Good morning. Today's Daf and Yavam is Mem Hey. We're Mem Dalam and Beis. We are three lines from the bottom of the Amud. We're going to be discussing one topic today. Here we are in a lengthy fourth parak of the Masechta. And so a big discussion over here has been issues regarding Chalitza. Today we're going to step away from Yibum Chalitza for just a little bit. We're going to be talking about Yichus, and we're going to be talking about the product of a illicit union. But not just any illicit union, but specifically that of a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish man. Okay, very halacha l'maisa, very practical halacha, as there is unfortunately a lot of intermarriage, and this is not a new phenomenon. This goes back over since the inception of the Jewish people. And so it's a really straightforward question. What is the status of the child when the mother's Jewish and the father's not Jewish? So everyone over here already knows that the child is Jewish. That's unassailable. That is going to be a given. But what is going to be on the table for discussion is going to be, is this Jew now going to be a Jew with full yichus, or is there going to be a taint in the yichus? And I say taint in the yichus, as we're going to see, there are going to be some opinions who are of the position that the child is in fact a mamzer. How do they arrive at that conclusion? Stay tuned, that's going to be the discussion in today's daf. Basically, in other words, I know summary usually comes after the daf, not before the daf, but generally speaking, in the course of today's daf, the range of positions is that the product of such a union is either going to be kasher legamrei, or the alternative is that the child is going to be a mamzer, and there is going to be kind of like a fuzzy middle position, which is that the child is kasher, but generally speaking, kasher for others, but not for my family. Okay, I know that sounds strange, but you'll see though that there is such a sentiment in the Gemara like that that's coming up also in the course of today's daf. And that's really it, meaning that's going to be today's daf, and let's begin. Amar Rabba Bar Bachanan, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara starts off with a comment cited back to Rabbi Yochanan. How come Odin Beved Eved Kochavim Habas Yisrael? So you either have an Eved over here, of course, is a reference to an Eved Kanani, which although an Eved Kanani does go through some conversion process and has some status as a Jew and has some Chiv and Mitzvahs, but vis-a-vis Ishus, vis-a-vis Yichus, zero, meaning not allowed to marry a Jew. So in this discussion, the Eved Kanani is going to be put in the same category as Stam, a regular non-Jew. So Eved Vovei Kochavim Habas Yisrael. So if either an Eved Kanani or an Ovei Kochavim has relations with a Jewish woman and has a child, Shavlan Mamzer. So we start off with the citation of Rav Yochanan that says that the child is in fact a Mamzer. Mana Kol Modim. So now the way it is quoted is that everyone agrees to this point. Everybody agrees to this point. Who's the everybody? So that's the question. The Gemara is going to give two opinions. So the first opinion, Mana Kol Modim Shimon HaTeimani Da'afagav Da'amar. Shimon HaTeimani. Now the opinion of Shimon HaTeimani, which we're going to be going over numerous times in this Masechta, which is a Mamzer Mechayv Elavin, that there's no Mamzer that comes as a result of a union which is prohibited by the Torah through a lav. So let's say you have any example. There are multiple examples. Yesterday's stuff, we spoke out a couple of examples of a union prohibited by a lav. Shimon HaTeimani says, look, even though the Torah says that you're not allowed to marry her, so but nevertheless, the child is not going to be a mamzer, and the child is only going to be a mamzer according to Shimon HaTeimani when the union is prohibited through Arayus. It's an erev in the Torah. Then and only then the child is going to be prohibited. So, Hani Mila Mechayv Elavin Detafsi B'Kedushin. But the reason why the distinction between Chayv Elavin and Chayv Kares is that by Chayv Elavin there is in fact Thesis Kedushin. Meaning, despite the fact that the Torah says you're not allowed to marry her, but if the prohibition is only on the category of Lav, so then the Kedushin is Tofes. The Kedushin will have an effect, despite the fact that the Torah says you're not allowed to marry her. Good. So you're violating a law in the Torah, but nevertheless, it's for the marriage is in fact in effect. On the other hand, when it comes to Chayve Krisus, the marriage does not take effect. There is no Tfisus Kedushin. And so everything is going to be a function of Tfisus Kedushin. So Ava Hacho Vekochem Ve'eved came into Lotavstabu Kedushin, Ke Chayve Krisus Dame. So now, let's take a look at the nature of the prohibition of the union between a Jew and a non-Jew. So what is it? So even if we're going to put it in the category of a lav, now when we say we're going to put it in the category of lav, what lav is that? Hold that thought. But we're going to put it in the category of lav. So one would consider now, well, if it's in the category of lav, so doesn't that mean now that the product of the union should be kosher? So in an explanation, the Gemara says no, because Shimon HaTamani says it is really a function of whether there's Tfisus Kedushin or no Tfisus Kedushin. Again, according to Shimon HaTamani, by Isuri Kares, there is no Tfisus Kedushin. By Alav, there is Tfisus Kedushin. So over here, the union of Jew and non-Jew, Jewish woman, non-Jewish man, is there Tfisus Kedushin? The answer is no. Unequivocally, the answer is no. Meaning that if they attempt to marry, and they use all the mechanisms of marriage, right? He hands her a shavapruta, hareat mekudeshes li, and they live together with Adam. So doesn't matter. Meaning there is simply no institution of marriage between Jew and non-Jew. That means to say there's no tefisas kedushin. If there's no tefisas kedushin, so now the product of that union, the child, is going to be a mamzer. This is the Gemara's attempted explanation how even Shimon HaTamani, even though Jew and non-Jew is not in Issur Kares, nevertheless, mamzerus is a function of tefisas kedushin. There is no tefisas kedushin, therefore the child is a mamzer. So the Gemara says, meisvei, really challenge Ovid Kochan Ve'Avid Abba Bas Yisrael Avla Mamzer. So here in the Braisa, so the Tanakhama says that the product of the union is a Mamzer. And now Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehuda Omer, a Mamzer Elam Mishi Yisura Yisra Erva Ve'Enosh Kares. And here the Gemara quotes Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehuda. Now, granted not Shimon HaTemani, but this Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehuda is clearly agreeing with Shimon HaTemani, which is that really it's a function of Yisura Kares. Only the product of the union, where the union is prohibited through a kares prohibition, then and only then is the child going to be a mamzer. So the Gemara now notes that you see that this Shimon ben Yehudi, who's aligned with Shimon HaTemani, would be of the opinion that that the product of a union of Jew and non-Jew is not going to be a mamzer. And so the Gemara says, okay, so we attempted, and our first attempt didn't go well. Meaning, again, Rav Yochanan says that everyone's in agreement, that if I have a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish man and they have an illicit union and they have a child, the child is a mamzer. Everyone agrees to this point. So who's everybody? When we say everybody, we don't mean actually everybody, but meaning people who you thought wouldn't agree with this actually are going to agree to this. Who does that include? So at first the Gemara tried to include Shimon HaTemani. The Gemara says it's not true. Now it's really interesting, meaning let's just see if I can organize and present this information really clearly. Meaning what the Gemara thought is that what produces a mamzer if the father and mother simply cannot have an effect in Kedushin. By Chayve Lavin, there could be effective Kedushin. By Chayve Krisis, there is no effective Kedushin. So what the Gemara first thought is that the mamzer status is going to be a function of whether or not Kedushin takes effect or not. If that's true, so then Jew and non-Jew, there's no Tfisus Kedushin, so therefore the child is a mamzer. So that's what the Gemara thought. What the Gemara concluded is no. The mamzer status is not going to be a function of effect in Kedushin. The mamzer status is going to be a function of the nature of the prohibition between the man and the woman. Only when the nature of the prohibition it gets to Erayus, Isuri Kares, then and only then the child is a mamzer. Anything less than that, so then the child is not going to be a mamzer. That's where the Gemara started and that's where the Gemara ended. Again, we're not at the conclusion point that's coming up later in the daf, but right now, in terms of what is Shimon HaTemani's position, that's where the Gemara changed in its thinking. Okay, I mentioned that when it comes to a prohibition of a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish man, so they are prohibited to one another, meaning that the marriage is a prohibition. Where exactly is that prohibition? So, Rashi. I'm not going to go through the Rashi inside right now. In other words, I'm just out of consideration of time. But Rashi, see the Rashi inside where Rashi cites multiple sources for this prohibition. Interesting, Rashi quotes a She'iltos to Rav Achai in terms of citing where exactly we're going to find this prohibition of a Jewish man and Jewish woman and a non-Jewish man. Alternative also, by the way, but we're just discussing it in this context of a Jewish woman because we want to know what the status of the child is, legabe, who this child can marry. I mean, the child is Jewish, but who can the child marry? That's why we're only discussing it in the context of a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman. Okay, so see Rashi and sorry for that. So what are we doing? We're back to square one, meaning we're going back to the beginning of today's daf now, and we're trying to understand a statement made by Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said, Hakomodim, everybody agrees that when a non-Jewish man, a Jewish woman have a child, the child is a mamzer, is Jewish, but it has the status of a mamzer. So who subscribes to that position? So Elam Rav Yosef. So it's not Shimon HaTemani. Who is it? Elam Rav Yosef. Man HaKol Modim, Rebbe. So it is the Shita of Rebbe, meaning Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. Afagav de Rebbe Omer in Dvarim Halalu Amor Melo Div Rebbe Kivasha Yosef Chalutza Kerva Velelo Svire Le. So even though Dvarim Halalu, these things, so obviously we're thrown into a context. What context are we discussing these things? So Rashi points out, it's going to a Gemara that we're going to be learning later on. Here, I'm going to cite the Rashi. Beperek Rabbi Gamliel. I'm reading the Rashi. Ein bia achar chalitza. So let's say that after a man does chalitza with his sister-in-law, so then he has relations with her. Di im chalos zu ubal es zu, ein atzricha hemena get. No get is required. Meaning once chalitza is done, no get is required. V'kamar, now that comment, that statement, no gets required after chalitza. So Rebbe's comment was, v'kamar ein advar malalu amorim debi acher chalitza, lo tafse ela div Rebbe Akiva. That is only as per the position of Rebbe Akiva. As we've noted yesterday, and we're going to note again today, and that is that according to Rebbe Akiva, so chai ve'lavin, there is no tfisas kedushin. Okay, that's the opinion of Rebbe Akiva. And that means that according to Rebbe Akiva, there's going to be a lot more mamzerim. Okay? And we're going to hear this in a couple days from now. Meaning the Shita Rebbe Kiva, we're going to see Rebbe Kiva's position in more detail. But anyway, that means that according to Rebbe Kiva, a man does chalitza with his sister-in-law. Okay, now what is she to him from an Isser standpoint? She's no longer an Isser Kares. She's now been downgraded to a lav, right? Kevin Shalabana, Shuvlo Yibana. Okay, so the chalitza now is a lav. So that means to say that if he has relations with his chalitza, so then what is going to be the problem? So the problem is that according to Rebbe Kiva, it's a lav. According to Rebbe Kiva, there is no Tfisus Kedushin. Now, if they have a child, the child is a mamzer, but we're not there yet. Meaning we're just focusing on, does that relation, act of relations now, going to cause any kind of consideration for towards marriage? Does he have to give her a get? So according to Rebbe Kiva, the answer is no. Because Rebbe Kiva says that there's no Tfisus Kedushin by Chai V'Lavin. Good. So now that we've established the Shita Rebbe Akiva, so Rashi, Ava Lidide Lo Svirale. So what Rebbe is saying is, I don't hold like that. Meaning, there is an opinion that holds like that, Rebbe Gamliel, but I don't hold like that. Afilo Hachiba V'Kocham V'Eved Modim. So now we go back to our Gemara. Now we know what the context is. The context is that someone has relations with his Chalutza. Does he have to give her a get? Rebbe Akiva would say no. Rebbe says, I'm not with that position. I don't subscribe to that position. So, the Ein Hadvarim Halalu Amorim Elo Div Rebbe Akiva Shaya Ose Chalutza Keerva, because Rebbe Akiva would say that the Chalutza is like an Erva, because again the Chalutza is a lav, and the lav there's no Tfisus Kedushin. Velei Lo Svirelei, and I don't subscribe to that. The I over here meaning a reference to Rebbe. So, but however, Beovikocham VeEved Mode. But when it comes to an Evikocham and an Eved, so I will agree that there will not be Tfisus Kedushin. Consequently, the child is in fact going to be a mamzer. Dechi as Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Rav Dumi Mishum Rabbeinu Ovikocham VeEved Abba Bas Yisrael Vla Mamzer. And in fact, Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he quotes B'Shem Rabbeinu, and Rabbeinu presumably is a reference to Rebbe, not presumably. It is a reference to Rebbe, and that is Rebbe's of the position that you have a non-Jewish man, a Jewish woman, they have relations, they have a child, so the child is in fact going to have the status of being a mamzer. Okay, so we are now at the point where we have cited Rav Yochanan, Hakol Modim. We want to know who is he coming to include, and that what is that child going to be? The child is a Jew, unequivocally. But what is the status of that child regarding his ability to marry others? So we thought Shimon HaTemani was of the position that the child is going to be a mamzer. The Gemara says no, that's not his position. Rebbe, however, is certainly of the opinion that the child is in fact going to be a mamzer, and it's been corroborated right now at this juncture of the Gemara. So the Gemara now has cited the opinion of Rebbe that you have a child of a Jewish mother but a non-Jewish father, so the child is Jewish but has the status of a mamzer. Okay, and presumably the reason why is because there is no tefisas kedushin, okay, between the father and the mother. The Gemara goes on to discuss this very point. Continues to discuss this point. Rebbe Acha, Sar Habira, Rebbe Tanchun, Berei de Rebbe Chia, Ish Kfar Ako, Prok Hanushavua, De Asa Me Armon. So we are now in a story meaning an incident, an episode, in which a couple of Rabbanim, so they were Podeshvuyeh, women were taken captive, by non-Jewish men. They wanted ransom. The rabbis collected the ransom money and redeemed these women. So, I'm sorry, the Da'asumi Armon Litveria, Havachada Da'abra Me'ovekochavim. So, unfortunately, when these women were held captive, so the captors were made advances on these women, and one of them was violated, and one of them now is pregnant. And now they're seeking to ascertain the status of that child. Is that child going to be a mamzer? So, a collection of rabbanim, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Yochanan. Sorry, I said it out of order, but they're all of the position that the status of the child is going to be a mamzer. So it's unfortunate, meaning that this woman didn't even want to have this child from the non-Jewish man. It was a violation. Nevertheless, it doesn't matter. Meaning, in terms of statuses are concerned, so whether she was willing or unwilling, it really doesn't matter. In other words, the simple fact of the matter is that the product of the union, according to these opinions, is that it's a mamzer. This child is a mamzer. So at least this is now what Rabbi Ami's are arguing, because a number of rabbanim are of that position. So I'm Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, Rabu Salamechshev Gavre. Okay, so I'm very happy that you've collected a number of chachamim who say that the child is a mamzer. It doesn't impress me just because you have a collection of opinions. So you have a collection of opinions. So how Rav Shmuel ben Bavel, Rav Yeshua ben Levi bar Kapar bet Yisrael ve'amri lei chalufi bar Kapar ve'ayle ziknei darom. Okay, question of who said it, but certainly Rav Shmuel ben Bavel are of the following opinion, and also some Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. Kasher. So I can cite to you opinions that say that the child is perfectly kasher. So Elam Rav Yosef, Rebbe he. So he says that opinion that you cited was the opinion of Rebbe. Dichi also Rav Dimi, Am Rav Yosef, Rav Dimi, Mishim Rabbeinu Amru, Avikochan Ve'Eved Abba Bas Yisrael, Havlad Mamzer. As we already learned together, and the Gemara just is reciting it, and that is the opinion of Rebbe, is that the child is in fact a Mamzer. So fine. So it's to just cite opinions in general. That doesn't impress me. But if you tell me that that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, okay, that's something that we have to take into serious consideration. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer Havlam Mekukal. Okay, the Gemara now cites the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that as far as the child is concerned, the child is Mekukal. So again, I'm saying this with not out of a judgment. I'm just saying this as a simple translation of the Gemara. And that is the child is damaged goods. Okay, now what does that mean? So the Gemara says, Laman. Now what does that mean? The child can't marry another Jew? Meaning, again, I know I said this multiple times. I'll just repeat myself just for the purposes of emphasis and making sure that we all get that the child is Jewish. That is unassailable. The only question now is what is his status regarding his ability to marry others, other Jews? So, if you're telling me that according to Rav Yeshua ben Levi, who uses a funny term, he describes a child as mikukal, so what does that mean? He can't marry another Jew? The Gemara says, we know that's not true. Meaning, we know that according to Rav Yeshua ben Levi, the child is a Jew with the ability to marry other Jews. So, ela lekuhuna. So the Gemara says, so it must mean that this child can't marry Cohen. So if I have a child, a product of intermarriage meaning the father is not Jewish, the mother is Jewish, so vis-a-vis kahuna now, that's what he's saying. So the kulam right, the machshu mod shavla pagam the kahuna, mikavachom me'almana. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's not a unique opinion. The Gemara is now telling us everybody subscribes to that opinion. Everybody who's of the position that the child is kosher will certainly be in agreement that the child can't marry a kohen. How do I know that? Because ma'amana lekohen gadol sheni surah shava bekol b'na pagom zeshu surah shava bekol eino din shebna pagom. So the Gemara says, because we're going to use a very simple kavachomer. If let's say a Kohen has relations with an Amana. Let's do that again correctly. If a Kohen Gadol has relations with an Amana, so that child now is a Chalal. That child is now going to be tainted in lineage where the child can't marry a Kohen, right? The child is a Pagam. And not only that, but the mother also is going to be a Chalala in the act of relations. Now, the Isser of Kohen Gadol and Amana is an extraordinarily limited Isser. It only applies to Kohen Gadol and Amana. And yet, it's going to produce a tainted child, tainted in the sense that the child can't marry a Kohen. So over here, when we're talking about something which is not limited, meaning the Isser of Jew and non-Jew is a universal Isser that it would apply to every Jew. They cannot marry a non-Jew. So therefore, for sure, the child is going to be pasul l'kahuna. Now, now, if you remember, so we pointed out, look, it is a good argument, but the construction of the argument is somewhat flawed. Because we're not just, in the case of Kohen Gadol Ta'amana, it's not just the child that's tainted, the woman herself, just by having relations with the Kohen Gadol, also now is going to receive a status change. She herself will not be able to marry a Kohen in the future. Alternatively, even if she is a Bas Kohen, she will no longer be able to eat Truma. She will be Mischalala in the act of relations. So over here, is that going to be true? So the Gemara says, actually, yes. So the Gemara says, absolutely. If a Jewish woman were to have relations with a non-Jewish man, she now is going to be banned and barred from marrying Kohanim. Alternatively, says Rashi, if let's say she was a Bas Kohen and she was enjoying the Truma of her father's house, she no longer can eat it. How do I know that this is in fact so? That a woman will be disqualified from kahuna if in fact she has relations with a non-Jew. Only those who have a institution of marriage is a woman not going to be disqualified. But if she has relations with a man where there is no institution of marriage, i.e. a non-Jew, so then she herself, meaning we're not even up to the child, she herself in the act of relations is now going to be disqualified from kahuna, which again means that she can't marry a Kohen. Alternatively, if she was a Bas Kohen, she can no longer eat Truma.
What if the child was a boy? Could he marry a Bas Kohen?
Presumably, the answer is no. Yeah. Okay. Amar Le'Abaye. Okay, so where are we right now? So a little bit confused, only because the Gemara threw out a lot of opinions regarding the status of the child who's a product of a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother. Child is Jewish. That's a given. What is the status regarding the child and his ability to marry other Jews? So that is on the table for discussion. So there is an opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, as cited in the beginning of today's daf. Included in that is also the Shita of Rabbi, which is in agreement, and that the child is a mamzer. The Gemara notes that although, despite the fact that there are a number of Amarim in Eretz Yisrael who subscribe to that viewpoint, but the Gemara notes, however, that a number of Amarim do not subscribe to that viewpoint. Notably, Rav and Shmuel and Bavel, and some Amarim in Eretz Yisrael, including, I want to get this one right, including Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the maybe Bar Kappara as well, but Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, are of the opinion that the child is kosher, that the child is a Jew with no restrictions of who he can marry. And as I say that, the Gemara says, I'm going to take it back a little bit. Not no restrictions. In other words, but generally speaking, is eligible to marry most Jews. However, can't marry a Kohen. In other words, in that regard, there will be a pagam in that, or the Gemara's language is mekukal, a kilkul, in that this child cannot marry a Kohen. Outside of that, short of that, the child is going to be a full-fledged Jew with the ability to marry most every other Jew. Amalei Abaye. We are on Mem Hey Amud Aleph. We are 5-6 lines down after the lines get wide. And the Gemara now continues to discuss. I told you, today's daf, one topic. Just a lot of discussion. So now what you've been doing all morning is been relying on a comment made by Rav Dimi. This happens throughout the Gemara. And that is Rav Yochanan is quoted. And his psakim and his Torah are communicated to Bavel through messengers. And specifically those messengers are usually Rav Dimi and Ravin. Right? Rav Dimi and Ravin are your frequent flyers between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. And so they are sitting in the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. They hear from Rav Yochanan and they report to what happens in Bavel. Now here, unfortunately, what happens, and it happens with a good amount of regularity, is that they don't always give us the same viewpoint of what Rav Yochanan say. In other words, they give us differing viewpoints of Rav Yochanan. And so, this is part of the struggle that exists sometimes in Torah Shabbat Peh, which is that we like to know what Rav Yochanan says, and sometimes what happens is that we're not given one version. And so here, the Gemara says, Rav Yosef says, before relying on Rav Dimi, I'd much rather rely on what Ravin says. Morin ba lehetera. So, the citation over here, it's interesting. This citation is not a Rav Yochanan. Usually they argue in terms of what Rav Yochanan said. In this particular regard, they're arguing as to what Rebbe said. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. Now, previously in our daf, we had Rebbe Yehuda Nasi saying that the child is a mamzer. Now, Ravin is presenting a different, an alternate view of Rebbe, which is that the child is kasher. Oman Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, Rebbe, v'af Rav Moreba Hetera. And now we have Rebbe on the side of the child is not a mamzer. The child is kasher. And the Gemara points out Rav also is in agreement. Now, we already heard that this morning, but now we get to hear it again. What is the status of the child of that union? So Amar lo havlad kasher. So he says that the child is in fact kasher. Amar le. Now, I foreshadowed this at the beginning of today's daf, and here we are. I mentioned that there's going to be an opinion that the child is kasher, but kasher for everyone else, not for my daughter. Okay, so, and I know, right? It sounds strange, but we're going to see clearly Rav was of that position. Because Havlad Kasher Amalei Havli Bartech. So he says, good. So it happens to be that I have a child. I have a son of that union. So, and he's excellent. Now, I know I'm giving a little bit of narration over here, but you'll see that my narration will be, in fact, be reinforced by the Gemara. So, and he's excellent. Would you give me your daughter to marry him? So, lo yavinalach. So Rav's position was very clear. No. Meaning, I'm telling you as a psak, the child is kasher. The child can marry anybody, but I'm not prepared to give my daughter for that boy who is the product of that union. So Amr Shimi Barchila Rav, Amri Inchi. So you know there's an expression, which is Gamla Bemadai Akaba Rakada. So if you have a camel in Madai, the camel will dance for one kav. Okay? So Veha Kava Veha Gamala Veha Madai Velo Rakta. And here we are, in other words, we have everything in place and there's no dancing. Okay, it's an expression. It basically means that look. In other words, people say that it can happen, but meanwhile, you're saying it can't happen. Meaning, and not only that, what makes it even more challenging over here is you're saying it's okay to marry this woman for a woman to marry a man who is a product of intermarriage, who the father is not Jewish. You're saying it's okay. Meanwhile, push comes to shove. What about your daughter? He's like, no, not my daughter. In other words, my daughter is not going to marry that man. So, in Ahavik Yeshua ben Nun, lo yavin le barti. So he says, look, even if the man was like Yeshua ben Nun, I still wouldn't give my daughter. Amalei Ahavik Yeshua ben Nun, imar lo yaiv le, achrina yavi le. So, look, if the child was the status of Yeshua ben Nun, so then for sure, that he'd be very eligible. A lot of people would give the daughter for that man. However, hi, imar lo yaiv le, achrina lo yaiv le. But Rav, if you're going to set the standards where you're not going to marry your daughter to that man, so then, even if he's like Yehoshua ben Nun, so then nobody would do so. So in other words, what you're doing is you're taking a position which is really difficult. Meaning you're saying the halacha is that such a man is kasher. You're saying that he can marry any woman. You're not prepared to give your daughter. If you're not prepared to give your daughter, so then who's going to give their daughter? Now, sounds like a pretty reasonable point. Okay? It sounds fair. Lo have ka'azo mikame. And this man now, let's give him a name because we know his name, it's Rav Shimi. So he would not budge from Rav, meaning he was literally standing on this point, right? Almost literally, but in other words, he was standing on this point. And he was resolute and he was not prepared to take no for an answer. Now I know the story's going to end in a bit of a shocker, but, so Yav Bei Einav Ishachiv. So at that point in time, we move from the position of I'm arguing to I'm being insolent and I'm being disrespectful. And he was at that point in time being disrespectful, not ready to accept Rav's response. And so Rav gave him the eye and Rachmanis, the person, died. Okay. And so again, if we were there and we see the tones and the body language, so I'm sure it would, but clearly though, in the context of the Gemara, it's not that he sounded like he made a reasonable point, but however, it comes a point in time where you just have to accept. In other words, this was Rav's position that the person is a kasher, but he wouldn't give his daughter. I've got questions. Okay, good, you have questions. But at a certain point in time, we just have to accept, and he wasn't ready to accept.
He just died, no details. details?
That's it. That's all. Yav be'enei v'shachiv is a refrain that we hear throughout Shas. It's not. I don't want to overstate it. We don't hear it all the time, but we do hear it on occasion. And basically, when a person is disrespecting Talmid Chachamim, so it's that the Talmid Chacham is not putting him to death, but in other words, he gives him an eye.
The look.
Right. He gives him the look. And right. And it's that's right. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that they have to be careful with Talmid Chachamim. Right, they're ish, they're fire, and you know you play a little bit too much with the fire and you get burnt, and he got burnt over here. The af Rav Masamo de Balei Tera. Now we're back to our discussion. So again, the status of the child. So now we know that Rav says the child is kosher. And again, I know we just went through a lot of drama in terms of Rav, how he personally would conduct himself. But again, the halach is very clear, kosher. And the Gemara says Rav Masna also is in agreement that the child is kosher. Mara bala etera. Vav Rav Yehuda mara bala etera. Rav Yehuda also is on the side of heter. Dechiyasel kamen de Rav Yehuda amale zil itmar. Now, there was a child of the product of a union. Father was not Jewish. Mother was Jewish. And now this child wanted to marry. And he was having challenging finding a shidduch. Because, you know, in other words, when he hands his resume out to people, so people got a little bit scared off. So he looked for Rav Yehuda for advice. Now, Rav Yehuda's of the position, you are kosher. You can marry whomever you want. And again, I say that it's still slightly restricted. You can't marry a Bas Kohen, but you can marry whoever you want. So the Zil Itmar. So here's my suggestion to you. And I know this is going to sound a little bit shady, but in other words, go somewhere else. Meaning, go to another community. They don't know who you are, and you don't have to disclose all the information. Meaning, halachically, it's fine. It's fine for you to marry another Jew. But over here, I understand people are resistant. And when I say people are resistant, we just learned together that Rav himself wouldn't give his daughter to such a man. So go somewhere else where people don't know you, and you don't have to disclose this information. So the Onasiv Bas Minach, or find somebody like you, meaning find a girl who's the product of an intermarriage. Father's not Jewish, mother's Jewish. And look, in other words, you can marry, she can marry anybody, and good, so you can marry each other. And Rav gave out the same advice as well. So, okay, here we go. The Gemara gets in now into the weeds of this discussion, and that is, let's say that it's not just Stam and Eved having relations with a Jewish woman, but it's a chetzio ben chorin chetzio evan. He's a half-half. How do you get to a half and half? So we've gone over this numerous times to our chas, and that is that he had two owners, and one of the owners emancipated him. So now, 50% of him is emancipated, 50% of him is an evan, and he has relations with a woman, with a Jewish woman. What's the status? So Amr lay, so at first, the answer seems to be pretty simple. Hashta Eved kulo Amr kasher chetzu mibaye. If the Eved was 100% Eved, the child is kasher. So over here, 50% Eved, sounds like the child should be kasher. Amr Rav Yosef mar deshmaita manu Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. This statement goes back to Rav Yehuda. The Hamar Rav Yehuda, we're on the top of the Amud Beis. The Hamar Rav Yehuda, mishe chetzu Eved chetzu ben chor nabah bas Yisrael, oso vlad, ein lo takana. The product of that union does not have a takana, meaning the child is a mamzer, explains Rashi. So the Gemara says, okay, but a little bit of context over here, meaning because it's a challenging opinion. I'll just simply state it. If a full Eved has relations with a Jewish woman and the child is kosher, a half Eved having relations with a Jewish woman, the child for sure should be kosher. So the Gemara over here gives a little more context to this position, the child is a mamzer. When would the child be a mamzer? Kigon, the Kaddish Ba, Bas Yisrael. So the Gemara says in the following case, where this Chetzi Chetzi is Mekaddish, a Jewish woman. Does the Kedushin take place? 50%. I know that's strange, but in other words, half of him is a Ben Chorin. Half of him is a full-fledged Jew. So he's Mekaddish, a woman. So 50% now Kedushin. Now, he has relations with her. So the Tzad Eved now is having an affair. Again, I know this sounds strange, but this is the way the Gemara is presenting it. So, So he's having relations with a married woman. In other words, basically what we're doing is that we're taking this person and we are halachically dividing him into two. So the part of him that's married to this woman, mazel tov. The part of him now that having relations with this married woman, so you're having an adulterous affair. Despite the fact that these two positions are all being superimposed into one person. The Gemara says, but you know what? You're not right. Meaning that the ones who say that you're the apostle, meaning the positions who say that there's a mamzer, which was this morning so far, Rav Yochanan, possibly Rebbe, depending on whose version of Rebbe you're going to go with, right? And other Amoraim as well, right? A collection of Amoraim and Eretz Yisrael. Who say that the child is a mom's there? There, irrespective of the Jewish woman being a single, being married, it doesn't matter. Meaning the child is going to be a mom's there. For those who say that it's kosher, there too, it doesn't matter whether the woman is a single woman or a married woman, the child is going to be kosher. So how do I know that? Ushneim lo lamdu elamesh asaf. Because mamzerus, where is the source of mamzer? Well, the Torah. But in other words, how do I know that a mamzer is a product of erva? So we know it based on a series of psukim found in Parshas Kisetze. Mamzer is found in Kisetze, right alongside one of the arayos. Which one of the arayos? Eish asaf. So man de pasal savar ma eish asaf de lo tafsi ba kedushin havlan mamzer av kol de lo tafsi ba kedushin havlan mamzer. So, and now eish asaf, what is characteristic of eish asaf? No tfisas kedushin. Meaning, if you are trying to be Mekadesh, the wife of your father, your stepmother, there's no Tfisas Kedushin. And if you are with her and you have a child, the child is a mamzer. Similarly, by an Ovid Kochavim, meaning there's no Tfisas Kedushin, and therefore, consequently, the child is a mamzer. However, man de machshir savar ma'ish asav de li didei lo tafsi b'kedushin l'achrina tafsi b'kedushin la'afuke Ovid Kochavim ve'eved de lo tafsi b'kedushin klal. So, on the other hand, the counter argument would be, look, by Eish Asav, so you don't have Tisa's Kedushin with her. But she, of course, a Jewish woman, can have Tisa's Kedushin with anyone else. So then, and only then the child is going to be a mamzer. However, if a woman has no, if the union has no Tisa's Kedushin whatsoever, i.e. Jew and non-Jew, so then the child is not going to be a mamzer bichlal. Again, we're talking about in the specific case of the father's a non-Jew and the mother's a Jew, so the child is not going to be a mamzer. And furthermore, even if the woman is a married woman, the child is still not going to be a mamzer. And again, because there's no tfisas kedushin at all. So Ella, so this argument that the chasi yevid chasi ben chorin, who has relations with a married woman, so there meaning there are two opinions. Whichever your opinion is, so you're going to be unilateral of that opinion. Meaning, if you're of the opinion that a non-Jewish man, Jewish woman creates a mamzer, here too as well. If you're of the opinion that non-Jewish man and Jewish woman creates a kosher, here too as well, the child is going to be kosher, because her status of either being single or married is not going to affect it whatsoever. So, the Gemara says that we're talking about Ba'al Eishes Ish. Where this Eved is having relations with a married woman. And, we're back to our Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. And he's having relations. Not with a woman that he was Mekadesh, but rather another married woman. Ah. And now, why is it that the child has no Takana? Meaning, why is the child Mamzer? Very simple. Because half of him is a Jew. And now, the half that's a Jew is committing adultery with a married woman. And for that very simple reason, the child is a mamzer. Okay. Am Ravina Amrli Rav Gaza Ikla Rav Yosef Bar Avin La'asrein Vav De'uv De'Penuya Ve'achsher Be'eish Yisishu Pasol. So, Rav Yosef Bar Avin went to a particular community, and he was asked all the local shilas and some really tough shilas, meaning the product of a union of a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman. So he said that if the, or he said, or it was two different questions, either way, that if the was a, if the Jewish woman was single, so then the child is kosher. If the Jewish woman was already married and she had a extramarital affair with a non-Jewish man and they had a child, so the child is pasul. Amr Rav Sheshel Didi Amr Le Rav Gaza Lo Rav Yosi Bar Avin Hava Ela Rav Yosi Bar Zvi Hava. So a couple of corrections. First of all, you got the Amar wrong. It's Rav Yossi Barabbi Zvidi. And v'achshir bein b'pnuy bein b'eishas ish. And not only did you get the person wrong, but you got the psak wrong as well. Meaning if a non-Jewish man impregnates a Jewish woman, regardless of whether she was married or not married, the child is in fact kosher. Amar le Rav Acha b'rei d'Rav l'Ravina ikla amem l'asvim v'achshir bein b'pnuy bein b'eishas ish v'hilchasa. And the Gemara now wraps up on this particular topic. And that is, Ovi Kocham Ve'evet Abba Bas Yisrael Havla Kasher Bein Be'pnuya Bein Be'eshes Ish. And the halacha is that a non-Jewish man or an Evet Kenani having relations with a Jewish woman, regardless of whether she's married or not married, it goes without saying, right? In other words, both of them are prohibited. The acts of relation, right? The attempted union, it's not a union. But the act of relations between the two of them is absolutely prohibited, right? And you can bump up the degree of criminal activity when she's a married woman. So that's also an act of infidelity from her husband. Regardless, we're just now focusing on the status of the child. And the halach is that the status of the child is a kosher, meaning the child is Jewish. But again, that was never on the table for discussion. The child is Jewish, whether or not the child is a mamzer or the child is not a mamzer. So that has been our discussion. After a lengthy discussion, the full daf of today discusses this very point. The Gemara's conclusion is that the child is kosher. Okay. That part's clear. And the only thing left for an open end of this discussion is that should there be any kind of inhibition whatsoever to have your daughter marry this guy, right, who's the product of such a union. Meaning the child is kosher, and he is legitimately allowed to marry anybody. But from the perspective of you want to marry your daughter to this person, should there be any reservation? Should there be any hesitation? And we saw earlier in the staff, Rav had significant reservation of marrying off his daughter to such a person. That's the only thing that is open-ended of this discussion. But in terms of the halacha, the Gemara's conclusion is really clear. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with Rava, and we'll talk about assuming positions of leadership for such an individual.